up our Talk Up podcast. If you don't know about it, now you know.
Hey, you got something to say?
One topic, two options.
Oh, yeah, we got a lot to say. Welcome to
episode 107.
Unwanted emotions triggered by mental illness. We are making live phone calls to our guests on today's episode. We will be speaking to
Shades of Brown Podcast.
And do remember that there will be additional episodes in regards to this topic. So we ask that you listen to them all. Each episode will have four new speakers.
Who are we speaking to, you might ask? Well, we had the chance to speak to licensed counselors, social workers, podcasters, religious leaders, motivational speakers, and individuals who were willing to share their journey with mental illness. We ask that you listen up and you listen closely. If you want to be a part of the next discussion in regards to mental health, please email us at shutuportalkup@gmail.com. Oh yeah, listen to the next caller right now.
Hello.
Hi, this is the Shut Up or Talk Up podcast. Is this the Shades of Brown podcast representative?
Yes, how are you doing?
I'm fine. Just want to say thank you for answering and being a conversation in regards to mental health. We really appreciate you taking the time out your day to participate and share some insight. Before we get into the conversation, we're going to ask if you can give our listeners some insight on your platform and where they can find you before we get into the conversation.
Absolutely. I am Allison, also known as Allie B, the host of Shades of Brown podcast, which is a podcast that discusses the ever-evolving and sometimes contradicting thoughts of a Black millennial.
Okay.
And I can be found on Spotify, SoundCloud, as well as Apple Podcasts, and on my social pages at Shades of Brown podcast on Instagram and Facebook. Okay. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to have this conversation with you.
Oh, no problem. Thank you so much for participating. And we just want to tell our followers, our listeners, our supporters to go over there, check her out, support, subscribe, share, follow, comment, you know, show some support. And I'm sure you're definitely going to learn something or gain some type of interest. So, no problem. So the conversation is mental health in America. First, I want to know, what's your thoughts on the status of America's mental health on a whole? I would just word it that way.
Yeah, right now, I think we are all currently being traumatized constantly because of the current state of our nation. We're in the middle of a global pandemic, something that is unprecedented. Something we've never experienced before, and on top of that, we are experiencing incredibly intense, racially intense times. So it seems that we are all experiencing double the trauma, mm-hmm. and on top of that, in isolation, a lot of us are quarantined still, and though some things have returned to normal, for the most part, we're not gathering like we used to, sports or concerts or family gatherings. So we're experiencing all of this distress by ourselves. So I think that our mental health as a nation is in crisis mode, honestly. And I think it's very important for us to consider that piece when we're thinking about how we're going to address the new normal going forward. Because it doesn't seem like we're going back to what normal was.
No, yeah.
It will forever be changed going forward, you know? So I think that when it comes to how we do things in our new normal, our mental health has to be a key piece of that.
Yes.
And I'm so happy that Governor Cuomo, the governor of New York, he has been addressing this. Like, hey, we're not only struggling economically, financially, family-wise, emotional-wise, job-wise, but we're also struggling mentally. And I think it was such, and I think he's such an amazing example of a leader.
Oh, yeah.
He addresses all of us, you know, all parts of who we are as humans, mind, body, and soul. And the mind piece, is, in my opinion, is where it all starts. You know, there's no way we can address our physical needs, our spiritual needs, emotional needs, without first addressing our mental needs.
Yeah, I think that is definitely important. And shout out to Governor Cuomo. And it's, you know, yeah. it's... it's so crucial for us to get in tune with that and also to start the conversation. And like you said, normalizing it. You also mentioned the fact that you don't see us going back to the regular path, the old path.
Right.
And I see that too. I think there's a lot of, you know, changes that's happening and soon to come. But we just have to keep the ball rolling and not quitting, even when it comes to mental health and all of the other things that's affecting our mental health as a whole. Now, in regards to expecting people to come to work or to be happy if their mental state is not good, or to be, you know, to do certain things that they're physically not well, you know, it's all connected. In regards to like work, the atmosphere, do you think that mental health needs to be addressed more in a work environment?
1,000%. I do know that most places, you know, they offer sick leave in regards to, you know, our physical health. And a lot of us are now starting to kind of just couple that with our mental needs as well. But I do think that more companies, more corporations should be more intentional about addressing the mental needs of their employees. For example, me personally, over the past several months, I've really been struggling because we're constantly seeing, you know, black men being shot and killed or murdered or having their freaking necks stuck.
Girl.
You know, like, we're seeing...
The visual is traumatizing.
Oh, my goodness. And it's over and over and over, you know. And even with just the sharing of the story and the sharing of the videos, that re-exposure has a way of affecting us mentally and psychologically. And then we're still expected, you know, to
perform.
Yeah, and to perform at our optimum.
Yes.
I just do not think that is a reasonable expectation when you've got protests going on, riots going on, and all these corporations are starting to step out and say something, but no one is saying, hey, what about our black employees? Are y'all good? Are y'all okay? Do you need a day off? Do you need some time away?
Right.
Do you need, just asking the question, what do you need? And oftentimes that is, you know, maybe a mental health day. Maybe it has a day. I for sure... thankfully, I work for a company who allows me to be flexible in my PTO and my time off. But I for sure have taken time off. And another part of it is maybe you don't feel comfortable saying, hey, I need a mental day off. Just say, I need a day.
Maybe there needs to be a proper wording so that it's you know, and for me, I don't feel like it's fair for me to have to say why I need a day off, if I need a day off, but I understand, you know, sometimes things are personal, but I think that collectively, if corporations or employees could come up with a word to say, hey, I need one of these days off. I mean, you know, if you don't want to use the term mental health or whatever, maybe somebody out there can come up with that term, but I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think, and maybe it's just a matter of expanding what they already offer in terms of sick leave. Maybe just expanding it to just, you know, health days, right?
Right.
A sick day for
a well-being day.
A wellness day.
A wellness day. That would be... They should call it wellness day, girl. We said it here.
Yeah, a wellness day. I took a whole wellness week in May.
Yes.
There's a lot going on, you know, and I needed that time to regroup, and it is just unreasonable for any corporation to expect their employees to show up and show up at 100%.
100%, yeah.
Okay, mentally, emotionally, physically, all those things have to be addressed.
You know what, when I think about just having to be present, whether it's in your personal life, your work life, wherever it is, I also think about, I like to say, the caregivers of the world, or the real superheroes of the world, the teachers, the firefighters, the good officers that are for supporting, you know, people and human race, you know, especially teachers and nurses. I just feel like, you know, these are the people that take care of us. You know, I'm in a different field, and I'm happy about the field that I'm in. But the people that take care of us, like, I feel like now more than ever, we're realizing how valuable a nurse is, a doctor is, an aide is.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
We, you know, these are the people that's taking care of us. And could you imagine their mental health? Like, having to have families. Some people are losing their jobs because they can't go to work because they have kids at home. But their work consists of them saving other people's lives and possibly bringing home the virus. It's sad.
Yeah. it's incredibly sad, and I think that we'll see the implications of this time period for years to come because of what it's doing. The toll it's taking on our minds, mm-hmm. the toll it's taking psychologically. I think we will see, like, man, this thing really, really played a huge effect. Because in my opinion, I do not think our national leadership is doing a good job of making sure mm-hmm. we're good, mm-hmm. of making sure that we're taking proactive measures yes. to take care of the frontliners.
Go ahead. I was going to say, my mom always say prevention is better than cure. Like, yes. if you can prevent and if you, you know, being proactive, especially when leadership is so important. And then on the flip side, I'm one to be like, okay, the milk is already spilt. What are we going to do now? Are we still yeah. figuring it out? Like, we already spilled yeah. 4 bottles of milk now. We don't need to be spilling anymore. We need to be effective. That right there also messed with my mental health because I'm like, the leadership is messing with my mental health.
yeah. It's problem on so many levels. I think that's such a key point you made about prevention instead of even a cure. And taking care of our mental needs is, I think, one of the most critical preventative measures we can take because, like I said, everything that follows that. And when our mind is right, when our mind is renewed, we are able to operate in a way that is effective, you know, that mm-hmm. is whole. Mm-hmm. So I think that's such a key to, you know, take preventative measures.
Yeah.
It's always being reactive. And that's what we're saying right now. Everything we're doing is just reactive. Mm-hmm. We're all running around with our, you know, like chickens with our heads cut off mm-hmm. because no one prepared for this. No one, you know, knew how to assess this. And those who did most prepare did not prepare, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, we're in this state of just pure chaos.
Yeah. I think when I think about...
I was just going to say, it's so important that we, you know, take a moment to be intentional to center ourselves.
Yes.
Because you know? Within chaos, it's so easy to get sucked into that. Get sucked into the confusion and the chaos of the world. But we have to be intentional and diligent about centering ourselves and coming mm-hmm. back to peace of mind mm-hmm. so that at least in our little bubble, in our hormones, mm-hmm. in our family,
immediate.
In ourselves, mm-hmm. we are at peace.
Yeah. I agree. I think when I think about, it's so ironic that in the year 2020, we definitely have to focus on having 2020 vision. Like we definitely within, we have to, like you said, intentional. And I think that's so important. And, you know, also when I think about the children, you know, the next generation and the children, how they're, you know, operating throughout these times, I don't know if you have children or not, but what are your thoughts on how children are being affected by the mental health crisis in America today?
I don't have children.
Me either.
My own, however, I have a goddaughter and I have nieces and nephews who I adore. And just also looking at all of my friends and family and how they've been affected because they're parents, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that our children are being affected greatly. I don't know if it's being shown right now,
mm-hmm.
But I think it's taking the toll, especially when it comes to things like isolation and quarantine.
Right.
I know my little nieces and nephews, they are all under the age of 5,
mm-hmm.
And it's foreign to them why they can't go outside and play with their neighbors or play with the kids around the neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's like, wait,
I don't even see school friends. Yeah.
Right. It's taking the toll for sure. And they have all this energy stored in their bodies that they need to be able to release in a healthy way.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we're having to compromise how they do that because of all that's happening. And then to think about what it looks like for them to start the new school year, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you know.
So they'd be going with it. Will they be in the classroom? Will they be at home?
Right.
An alternative approach. And it's a lot for our babies. And they don't have the language necessarily to express what they need or to express what they need.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's up to us, the moms, dads, grandparents, aunties, cousins, mm-hmm. godparents, to be a little bit more diligent, a little bit more patient and intentional with our kids to make sure their emotional needs are being met. Maybe mm-hmm. they're having more tantrums, maybe they're having more attitude problems or behavior problems. And oftentimes, it's not the surface issue. Oftentimes, there's crying out for help from a different place, from a wound or from an emotional need mm-hmm. that hasn't been met. And I think it's up to us to, once they give our elemental needs, and then say, okay, how can I serve you? How can I serve the child? Because they don't know nothing about no mental health.
Right. No. Yeah. They don't.
But they are little humans, and they have the same needs we do.
Yes, they do.
The same needs, and I think that we should care for them in the same way and have respect for their needs in the same way.
I definitely agree with that. I think it's so important to kind of give children that and to be there and also to build communities. You didn't just say mom and dad. You extended it to godparents, aunties, uncle. Like, you extended it because it is a village. Yeah. It still takes a village. And, you know, just to shift the topic, not so much the topic, but just to shift gears a bit, in regards to relationships, love relationships, marriages, intimate relationships, couples, you know, people that have been involved for years. When it comes to mental health, do you think that it's important for someone to find out their partner's mental health before engaging in a relationship? And do you think that mental health affects relationships? That's a handful. That's a mouthful.
Yeah.
But it's a real, it's heavy, but...
Yeah. I'm going to approach it from a realistic standpoint, because that I think is important for us to know the state of our partner's mental health. We don't always know ourselves.
Right.
You know? And especially within the Black community, it's something we're just not starting to talk about, let alone actually deal with. So though I think it's necessary to know, I don't know that we always have the luxury of knowing, because maybe the partner doesn't know themselves. I know if any relationship I've had prior to now, I didn't know.
Me either, yeah. It's not initially.
Not initially.
Yeah, I didn't know initially.
I was talking to my ex-boyfriend recently. We share a goddaughter, so we, you know, still keep in contact. And we were just talking about some things, and we ended up sharing kind of like the headspace we were in toward the end of our relationship, and I was letting him know, like, hey, remember this thing used to get on your nerves, or remember you always say this, or remember you would always respond this way? It was because of this. I now have the language for what that was.
Wow.
It was anxiety. Mm-hmm. And my anxiety was showing up in the relationship like this. My anxiety was showing up like that. Remember when you couldn't stand, you know, having to reaffirm me and this and that and reassure me? Well, that was because of this.
Wow.
The mental need, I didn't know what it was, and you thought I was just being overdramatic.
Oh, gross.
It was actually a mental thing that was needed. And it was a very open, you know, honest conversation.
That is so... I just want to tell you, that is amazing. To be able to identify the situation, take responsibility of your action, then explain what caused your action, and to be at peace. Like, that girl, that's what
seriously,
we need.
Seriously, and oftentimes we don't understand. You know,
and it's not easy.
Mm-hmm. It's not.
And you're not saying that that's how you know, you're not saying that you're a perfect person. That's something that you did. And I think the step alone is so encouraging.
Years of work, for sure. You know, it's been years since he and I ended. And I'm just now being able to say, hey, you know what? I get what was happening now. And though we tried our hardest to make things work, we just did not have the language for what our needs were. Therefore, we couldn't communicate to each other what our needs were. Therefore, we were missing the mark for each other.
Exactly. Yeah. You know what? When you use the term language, you know, I don't know if I'm sure you're familiar with love languages. And I guess knowing your love language helps your mental health as well, because you know what you're attracted to or what helps. You know,
absolutely. That was another thing that came up, because his love language is physical touch.
Okay.
And when we were dating, we were long distance. There's literally no way I can feel his love tank.
Yeah.
I'm giving my all. I'm literally giving my all. You know, and he was receiving it as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was receptive and was thankful for that. But because his love language was a physical touch, he needed something more.
Right.
You know? And the only option was for us to figure out a way to get in the same city or to end things, because there was just no way for it to work long term, long distance, you know. And he was able to share that with me, like, you know, like, hey, I wasn't just being dramatic in regards to, you know, always needing to see you, or, you know, when we would have, when we would see each other, like, he would get up there and I would always take naps. Like, you know, maybe I would fly in to see him, and I would need, like, a nap to just recover, to chill out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, Sam, come on, like, wake up.
Right.
You know?
Let me get this nap.
Yeah, I'm a nap girl too. I am a nap girl. I'm a sleepy girl. Oh man, you ain't gotta worry about me. I'm sleep. But no,
he was able to just explain to me, like, I wasn't just being fussy. I needed something more that you weren't able to give me. And when he was finally able to break it down, I'm like, oh, snap.
Right.
Like, I get it now. Like, dang, I feel bad now for taking all those naps.
Right. Well, girl, at least you guys see, even conversations like that is good for your mental health. You know, there's an idea of, you know, forgetting about certain things or acting like you're not bothered, but you are, or just, hey, if you don't mention it, I won't mention it. But low key, it's still something that is in your heart, in your mind, in your conscience, or something that you're using to place judgment on the next action. But if you just have the conversation, even if you're in the wrong or the right, that's something that's important to me, especially for my mental health. I'm a big believer in expressing myself and being clear. Like, even if I'm not the type of person that wanna, like, if I no longer wanna associate or affiliate with you, I'm not, you know, if we're friends or we're like a close knit, I'm gonna have a conversation with you. If I feel like there's something going on, or if there's some type of competition, or if there's some type of, you know, you felt like I said the wrong word, or if I'm overstepping your boundaries, like, I need to know so I can be a better friend, first of all, or better me. So I have to ask these questions.
And I think it's important that we reframe it from a good versus bad or right versus wrong, because it's neither. It's saying, hey, these are my mental health needs. These are my expectations. Can you meet them? And vice versa. You know, because my needs may not be the same as yours, and vice versa. So it's not so much as like, oh, why she need all that?
Right.
Because it's not a good or bad or right or wrong.
Right.
It just is what it is.
Right.
You know? And having those conversations is so necessary. And us reframing that from a right versus wrong. Like, no, we're all on this spectrum of health and all on this spectrum of wellness.
Yes.
You know? And it's just a matter of being compassionate towards someone else's needs.
Yeah. And even when you mentioned the right versus wrong thing, that's something that I've been having conversations about. You know, when I have conversations with people in my past life, I would, you know, if I'm having a conversation and I feel like you're targeting me, I would want to retaliate, or I would want to defend, or I would want to tell you what book I read, or I would want to pull out my fact sheet. Like years ago. I'm so far past that I'm in a place where I don't have conversations to win, and I don't have conversations to recruit. I don't have conversations to win or recruit or to reprimand. Because it's so many different layers of life. You know, you need the yin and yang. And someone else's view may not be my lifestyle or my way of living or what I believe in or what I know or what I agree with. But not every conversation has to be a debate, a wrong or right. And I think that right there is that thing, being around people that always have to have a wrong or right situation or a competition or this is faster or a one up. Those people are not good for my mental health. Look, I can't be around you. Like, I bought a red shoe, you had to get a blue shoe. Like, that's too much.
And I think it's necessary for us to understand what our triggers are, right? For us to point out and identify what's not good for our mental health. Like,
yeah.
I think, you know, like for instance,
example. No, not yet, baby.
People who are lactose intolerant, they know to stay away from certain foods and certain drinks.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
So that's a dairy in it that'll tear up my stomach, right? That's not good for my physical health, right? It's simple.
Right.
It's the same way with our mental health.
Right.
We know we're going to be around certain people or certain environments that trigger us or they bring out certain emotions. But no, fam, let's stay away. And putting up those boundaries can sometimes be a little bit challenging and sometimes difficult. But it's so important. It's so critical that we stay in a frame of mind that is healthy and whole. And again, like you said earlier, none of us are perfect. We're not going to always get it right. But boundaries are important.
Oh, boundaries are so valid. Yes.
Yeah. People, knowing yourself is important.
You know, I remember like being in like school or in, you know, graduating, getting my job and being around other people and different groups of people with different backgrounds. And I would often hear like, you always have boundaries. And I'm like, no, I don't really have a lot of boundaries. I'm not one like, okay, if we go here, we got to do it by this way, or we got to eat this, or everybody got to walk in this way, or we all got to, you know, I'm not that person. But when you enter in my physical, like if you're asking me a question or you want to involve me in something that my conscience and my heart don't feel like. One thing about me, when I'm around a guy that likes to say, oh, I'm pretty slim, right? And I'm also I'm a brown skinned girl, right? And so if I'm around a guy that says, oh, look at that girl, she too big the way that, oh, or look at that girl, she too dark. First of all, I'm light skinned and I'm slim, but don't you ever think you're going to disrespect another woman around me. Because that's not healthy for my mental health. That's a boundary that I have. Even if it's not me, someone is offended. You know, even if you're not talking bad about me, if you're talking bad about another woman or even someone that's disabled, like certain things with me don't fly, because that's not a part. That's not what I stand for. I don't care what she look like. I don't care how much weight she have or whatever it is. That woman is beautiful. You don't think you going to disrespect her and I'm going to feel like, yeah, because I'm the one he want. No. Yeah. You disrespecting her mean you disrespecting me. And if I allow you to disrespect her, I'm not with that. Those are the things that affect my mental health. I'm like,
I love that.
We can't do that.
Not at all. And overall, I just think it's important that we have grace and compassion for folks. When it comes to, you know, black folks, a lot of times we say, oh, that, you know, our family, we all got that crazy uncle, that crazy aunt, you know, who we just kind of throw by the wayside because they have these issues that no one's been able to figure out. But oftentimes they have some physiological or psychological needs that haven't been met. And I think we need to share and show more grace and compassion for ourselves and for those around us, because we're all in need of something.
Yeah. So the name of your podcast, this, correct me if I'm wrong, is it Shades of Brown?
Yes.
Okay. So Shades of Brown. And now I'm thinking about the name of that, and I'm going to shift the gears just a tad bit. How do you think colorism in the black community affect our mental health? Girl. I mean, I've actually never met you, and we don't know each other. We just, you know, having this conversation. We don't know what each other look like or anything. No. So I kind of gave you a...
I am...
Go ahead.
Yeah, you talked about how you know, slim and light skin.
But I'm not... Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm dark skin, curly hair.
Gorgeous.
Right? Thank you. Colorism, it has tons of effects on our mental health, because colorism is just a sidebar under the umbrella of racism. Right?
Yes.
It's not a separate thing, it's connected.
It's a subcategory.
It's a subcategory. So we're already fighting as a whole black community racism, but then you have these little isms and schisms within So now it's like, okay, so black isn't right, but when black is accepted, it's the
lighter version.
It's the looser curled hair, it's the certain body type, right? So then you've got, on top of racism, then you're saying, well, dang, like, I just can't win. And you see even the men in your own community who prefer a certain tall woman, who prefer, if I'm going to date a black woman, she needs to be light-skinned, she needs to be a paper brown bag.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know, all those things that you see where, my mom is super light-skinned and my dad is super dark-skinned. Mm-hmm. And growing up, he would say things like, you know, I can't be in the sun too long. And it's just like, well, why not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why not? And there was this indirect fear that was instilled, like, don't be in the sun too long.
Yeah. And we tell children, we don't, you know what it is? They didn't realize. They didn't, I feel like.
Yeah, we didn't know.
A lot, it's just what was said to them. And they said, you know, it's just someone told you not to be and you just pass it on. But I feel like
if
we're educated about it now, I think it's so important. When I was growing up, I got 5 sisters and I'm the lightest one. And I always wanted to be darker because I felt like, you know, I'm just the lightest one, you know. And my father would tell me, I always say this story because it's so important. He always tell me, make sure you're not just only pretty. Don't be walking around here basically thinking you just cute. Just make sure you're smarter than what you look like. And that used to bother me. I used to feel offended by it. And then I grew to understand that was just pure love. And then he would also tell me, I know you're red skin or you're brown skin and all that. You're beautiful, but don't think you're better than your sister. Like, and this was at like seven, eight. You know, I'm like, why would he tell me this? But it helps.
I have stories for days, because even that, the thought is just off your light skin alone, you're beautiful. But for dark skin girls, you got to be something, or you got to be dark skin, so you're pretty.
That is so annoying.
Right. Because you've got neurocentric features, or because you've got a big build, or because you've got long hair, because these extra things, right? Whereas my light skin counterpart, you're pretty just because you're light skin.
And you know what? I challenge, you know, lighter skinned black women to stand up for darker skinned black women that in conversations and corporate conversations and personal conversations and religious conversations with your man, you know, you going out with your girlfriends that are probably a whole group of light skinned girls, or you got that one, like, we got to stop that. I'm with love, really don't see no color. So
It's you talk about, you know, going out with the light skin girlfriend. I'm in a situation where I was celebrating my birthday, and long story short, we had an issue at the door going into a club, and me and my friend, light skin girl, we addressed the bouncer like, we don't understand what the issue is, yada yada yada, and we both had words with him, you know, and she was snapping, like she was going off to a point where I'm like, okay, there's no point for both of us to be snapping. I'm gonna just back off, right? So long story short, fast forward, she snaps, things get resolved, and afterwards she apologized, like, you know what, sir, I'm so sorry, I was really going off, that was not even necessary. And he was like, it wasn't even you, it was her. And points to me. It was her. She's the one who said whatever. And I'm like,
and you had backed off. But he let her slide.
Beyond. And what happens is, and it's not always, it's sometimes hard to identify in the moment, right? Because he didn't mention my dark skin.
No, he didn't.
Anyone's beauty or lack thereof. He just said what he said. So sometimes it's hard for, you know, I'm sure to this day my friend doesn't even know what I feel in that moment, right?
Yeah.
But oftentimes light skinned girls, when they pop off, oh, you're feisty. Ooh, she's exotic and she's, you know.
Sassy.
Sassy. Right?
But if you're the darker skinned girl, you're aggressive.
Problems you mean, you're aggressive, you're doing too much, you're masculine.
Yeah.
It's so freaking annoying.
We gotta stop that. We gotta stop that pretty far. That right there, those are the things that affect people's mental health as a child, and it affects how they think and they see themselves. These are the things that we need to stop, and we need to make a conscious effort, you know. And I think going, you know, our conversation is a little bit longer than anyone else, but it's fine. But going back to slavery, I believe that slaves, when they were able to be free and to go out there in the world, they were still enslaved mentally and also physically. And so when they, you know, they didn't want to see their kids go through the same pain that they did. So just to kind of tap into Beyonce's father said something like, when he was growing up, his mother told him, don't you bring no dark skinned girl home, because he was already super chocolate. So when he saw Tina, you know, Beyonce's mom, with all respect, he was like, you know, she was as light as he can get. You know what I mean? And it sucks because he was raised that way. And his mom told him that. Now, could we say his mom was a bad woman? No. She probably just was in the South, you know, saw what they do to black kids and figured if her grandkids would had the chance of being lighter, that means they had the chance of having a better life than she did. That psychology is weird, but it's real.
Oh, yeah. It's real, even with my own family. Like I said, my dad is super dark skinned, therefore, my, you know, that's how the family is that. And with my mom, I'm sure that played a part, right? She's super light. She's a red bone. She high yellow. Yeah. And his kids won't come out super, super dark like him. Because I've heard the comments. I'm sure my dad meant no harm, you know, but the comments are rooted in colors and rooted in, and thinking that lighter is better, that lighter is right. And I'm sure he had his own issues going on.
Of course.
And probably didn't want to create children who look like, who are as dark as him, so they wouldn't experience the same thing, right? get it, but it's still like, yo, that's messed up in the mind.
It is.
We have to grow up always wondering if we're good enough. Always wondering if we'll be found.
When your superiors.
Worthy of friendship, worthy of whatever, right? And this is why representation is so important. This is why we go crazy over songs like Brown Skin Girl.
Girl, yes.
Kelly Rowland being bigged up and Lupita and Naomi Campbell. This is why we go crazy over dark skin being crazy right now, the Viola Davises, because it's like, we have not seen this growing up. You saw, of course you saw your Nia Longs and your Regina Hall and your Regina King.
But I'm talking about chocolate. I'm talking about chocolate. And this is not to go against them. I respect them for who they are, but I'm light skinned. So I'm talking about, like, not for nothing. I don't have like bad skin, but my skin isn't as beautiful as, you know, a lot of dark skinned women's skin. And I just look at them like, girl, you just, you the shit. You know, and it's, we just have to encourage each other and break that cycle, even within our men, because we see the men choosing the lighter skinned woman, and now they're choosing, you know, and it's, you know, what they were seeing, or, you know, what beauty is. So it's those things affect our mental health.
Yeah, that's why you have people in African countries, you know, going crazy over lightening cream, bleaching cream, you know, to make their skin look lighter. They've been told I won't be accepted by society unless I'm lighter, and that is just so unfortunate. And that's why I'm intentional about, you know, making sure my nieces, especially my nieces, mom, you are gorgeous, period.
Yes.
Period.
Yeah, I have four nieces, and three of my nieces, they're like chocolate, like Kelly Rowland chocolate, you know, like chocolate, and they are like literally gorgeous, and I just, you know, I'm like the biggest cheerleader for them and all that, and just showing that, because it's so important. And I mean, thank you so much for this conversation, and you know, I know we've been yapping, and normally it's like a 15-minute thing, but I definitely, you know, conversations like this, everything affects our mental health, you know, even as a woman in this colorism conversation, trying to be involved or be the best you could be, you can be. But when society, this is the type of woman you should have, and she should look like this, that affects. We talked about children. We touched base with a lot of things. And, you know, do you have any last words you want to share when it comes to mental health before we close?
I would just encourage all, you know, if you don't know where to start, you know, in regards to addressing your mental health, one, I would say, you know, look up some counselors on psychologytoday.com. Find a mental health counselor that looks like you. You know, you can search and find that they, you know, believe like you, whether they're faith, or if they're a woman or a man, or non-binary, if they are LGBT or not. Like, there are so many ways you can find a counselor that identifies with who you are. So yeah, seek help. Like, there is no shame in that. We all need, we are all on this spectrum of wellness, and we need to make sure we're doing our part to take care of ourselves. So yes, please seek help.
Yes, seek help. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate your time today. And everybody, make sure you tune into her podcast, her platform. Subscribe, share, follow, show love, and enjoy your Sunday, girl. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You too. This is great. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. Have a great day. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And we would like to say thank you to everyone that tuned in into our Shut Up or Talk Up Mental Health Right Now episodes. That's episodes 103 through 107. So those episodes are strictly for mental health, where we have an array of conversations. You can go back, listen to it, send your feedback. If you agree, disagree, if you didn't like something, we take constructive criticism as well. So feel free to share that. And we just want to say thank you for tuning in. Stay tuned for the next episode here with the Shut Up or Talk Up podcast. Thanks.
Welcome to the Shut Up or Talk Up podcast. If you don't know about it, now you know.
Talk up, shut up, shut up or talk up.
Now you know.
Hey, you got something to say?